I took French for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth. And I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention.
Whoa.
And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option, and you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today.
You will say that. They want to know.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
First of all, come see our live shows. We're playing in a lot of places. Go to whoweekly.us, see our live shows. Second of all,
sound a little more excited about that before you move on.
Come see our live shows. We're performing live in a lot of places. We're performing in San Francisco, in Seattle, in Los Angeles, in New York, in Philadelphia, in Boston, in DC. Go to Detroit. Come to Atlanta. Come to all these places. You'll have a good time, we promise. You'll have as good of a time as Tessa Thompson appears to be having in the photos accompanying this headline. Tessa Thompson sits on a human chair while filming, you guessed it, Westworld in New York City. I thought they'd abandoned this show. I thought they were just supposed to make us forget
TikTok
that this existed.
My TikTok is like 85% people taking videos of the Westworld filming.
Wait, I did see the random woman actually accidentally walk into the set of Westworld.
That was amazing.
I thought that was old, but it's new.
And somebody spotted the car and like went right up to the car and like took video of it and was like, yep, this is Westworld. A PA was like, no! And I was like, we've seen this car before. Like, don't worry about it. We know what this car looks like.
I'd
you know,
say
the car
spoiler,
with the side seats, the little couch inside the car. Okay.
I know the car. I have such a like sketchy recollection of Westworld at this point that like I can't even say this is a spoiler because who knows if I'm even right. But I'm just like, I thought it says that Ed Harris and Tessa Thompson were filming a scene together. And I was like, I thought literally both of those people died in the show last season. Didn't they both die? Does it matter in Westworld?
What is death, you know? I don't know. I don't have any clue what happened last season on Westworld. Like, there's nothing I need more than, like, last season on Westworld. You know, like, if you showed me that reel, I would be like, oh, did it? Last season on Westworld was, like, a different world. We don't even, like.
That's the point.
Do you even remember what it was like?
We need, like, the Bravo, like, da-da-da-da, and it's like, previously on Westworld. Like, that's what I need.
You need like a whole year to explain what happened last time on Westworld, let alone what it felt like.
It's its own work. It's its own job keeping up with Westworld. Okay. You're listening to Who's There, a weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns at 619-WHO-THEM. Let's start with comments.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I had to call in after your diatribe against Rashida Jones's shirt. Because when you started talking about it, I was like, oh, yeah, they're her shirt from the Expedia commercial, which is 8 to 10 sizes too big. But strangely enough, you were not talking about the Expedia commercial where she's wearing a giant mustard-colored shirt. You were talking about the Citibank commercial where she's wearing a giant blue and white striped shirt. So my question is this part of her rider? Does she demand oversized shirts or I walk? The mustard-colored shirt sleeves in particular are absolutely insane balloons, and I need you to figure that out. Crunch, crunch, this bitch was inside the Eiffel Tower.
Okay, this is shocking to me. This is shocking, right? Like, this is a trend
I'm
for her.
Confused.
This is just
I
her style.
I feel like we opened a door, like a portal to hell. Does she always wear giant shirts?
I looked for more photos of Rashida Jones just walking around. I don't think she wears giant shirts in her day-to-day life,
okay,
but I feel
but
like
does
when
she
she's
demand
in glam.
Them in ads? Is something about Rashida Jones wearing a giant shirt, like, gonna sell the product?
It stands to reason she might demand giant shirts, or she takes her stylist with her from shoot to shoot. And the stylist is like, Rashida, you look great in big shirts.
Focus groups where they're like,
turning the knob.
The shirt just keeps getting bigger and the audience keeps responding better, you know, like small shirt, tight shirt. They're like, we will not sign up for Citibank credit or we will not go to Expedia.com. But as the shirt gets bigger, for some reason, everyone's freaking going crazy.
What is the linear relationship? Like there's a graph that just keeps rising and the x-axis is like... But brand loyalty, and the y-axis is like shirt size or something. It's like,
yeah, and
this
the,
shirt's
and
testing
as
through
the
roof.
The shirt gets bigger, the brand loyalty gets stronger.
It gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Rashida, they want to see you in a giant shirt. She's like, oh, fine.
I don't even know what to say here. So it's like, what do you think is going on? Speculate about this. I think all that means is that Rashida Jones likes wearing big shirts. That's it. It's simple.
I've done all the speculating I can do on this topic, I think. She just likes a big shirt.
Hi, this is a message for Bobby. I think that Ava Amari listens to Who Weekly and heard your theory about how she is contractually forbidden from mentioning her mother by name or relationship on her Instagram, because this weekend she posted like probably 25 photos of her mom, tagged her mom, said my mom multiple times in the captions and in the stories. So maybe they canceled the contract or filming something they rebonded. Who knows? But anyway, I think she specifically was pointing that tag at you. Okay, good for both.
I think this really is just a coincidence. I don't think it'd be lovely if like someone Eva Amari knew was like, they're on to you, Eva. You gotta post some photos of your mother. I think this is just a coincidence because it's literally her 75th birthday. This is rare. This is rare.
No,
during
clearly she's not listening to the podcast. Get a grip,
people. Yeah, I know, but
people.
But I know that she wouldn't be. But I think even in my mind, it's like flattering to think that like, oh, maybe someone in her orbit listened and thought it was funny and told her. But I don't think that happened at all. No, I think it's just...
She would be
lucky. It was her 75th birthday.
She would be lucky to have somebody in her orbit that listens to this podcast and would share it with her. What kills me is that in this photo with Eva and her dear
Susan.
Mother, Susan, Susan almost looks like a different person to me. Like, mm-hmm. She is conforming to her daughter. Like, when she stands like to her daughter, I'm like, I don't know that woman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's a different mm-hmm. woman. She also tagged Susan's Instagram, but she also tagged her sweater brand, which is like classic Eva Amari style.
White and Warren for her sweater brand. And, as if Susan would put her name anywhere near Warren. But Susan's Instagram handle is really funny. I didn't know this existed. Susan loves everyone.
Yeah.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. I am a plastic surgeon, and I was calling in because you guys talked about Linda Evangelista and Kool Sculpting. So, I know, and just in case you want to know more about this, so the paradoxical adipose hyperplasia is really rare, but the like actual reported incidence in the literature varies. Kool Sculpting itself says it's like about 1 in 4,000 people experience it. And the thing that is interesting about it or is that Linda said that she's, like, undergone multiple procedures. And usually the, like, treatment for this is just traditional liposuction to actually, like, remove the fat. Because the CoolSculpting works by, like, freezing the fat cells and they die in your body, like, metabolizes them and cleans it up, which is why the area shrinks. It can also take multiple treatments and can be relatively uncomfortable. So those are some fun facts about CoolSculpting. Crunch, crunch, good form, Bellhorn.
Love when a doctor tells me something's going to be relatively uncomfortable. It's like on the scale of the face that's like, yay, the face that's like, no, what is that? Yeah.
Wait,
on
which,
the pain scale.
Oh, the pain scale. The pain scale. The pain.
Yeah,
scale.
But I can't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know visually what that is, but I can't really quite show you the pain that the. Yeah. You know, there's a face that's like yay, and there's a face that's like bah! You know, like which yeah. is the face is that? That's the like, ooh, you know, that is it. That.
Yeah. Well, I just like when a doctor, when you say, when you ask a doctor, is this going to hurt? And the doctor goes, yes.
Okay, but the
no,
irony of this
that.
Entire CoolSculpting drama is that the solution for the CoolSculpting
is
fuck up that happens 1 in 4,000 is just liposuction, which would be what the person would have gotten before CoolSculpting existed. So it's like almost...
It's irony. Is it irony?
I don't know if it's irony. Is that what irony... Is that the definition of irony? And Alanis Morissette really got us all fucked up on what is irony and what isn't. I'm very insecure about what I think irony is, you know? It's like rain.
Well, I feel very secure in my understanding of irony. The problem is, like, I feel deep in my heart, I feel like I know what irony is, but the response to Alanis Morissette ironic makes me question myself, even though I'm pretty sure I'm right usually.
That's what I'm saying to you. It's like, yeah. even if
it's
you
like,
think you know, you're like thinking about Alanis Morissette and you're like, okay,
what
rain on your wedding day is not irony, right? Because it's just rain on a day. But like, are there other things that are kind of ironic in that song?
It's a black fly in your Chardonnay. It's a death row pardon. 2 minutes too late.
Anyways, you get it. Moving on.
The name Strictly Come Dancing that you guys were talking about, it's always annoyed me as well because obviously grammatically it doesn't make sense, but it actually comes from a show that was on the BBC in the UK for literally 50 years off and on, which was called Come Dancing. And when they brought it back in this iteration, they, I don't know, maybe they wanted to sex it up or something. So they combined it with... Strictly because of Strictly Ballroom, the Baz Luhrmann film, which is like, I guess, so hot and spicy. So they got Strictly Come Dancing. But most people in this part of the world, I'm in Ireland, actually just call it Strictly, which is good. A relief for those of us who are frustrated by grammar. I'm sure you got loads of calls about this, but just in case you didn't, there you go. Grateful for Sharna.
Incredible. Thank you. Have you seen Strictly Ballroom?
The movie? No, yeah. I've never seen it.
Really?
I've never seen it. No, I've never seen it.
Are you curious?
Are you curious? I guess now I'm curious.
It gives it's very Muriel's Wedding vibes to me.
I'm not the biggest fan of Baz Luhrmann movies, but I've never seen Strictly Come Dance, Strictly Ballroom, so maybe I haven't seen enough of them.
It is weird that that Strictly Ballroom, which to me feels like a niche, but I think it was one of those movies that was like My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where it was like made, you know, it was like small, but then it was huge.
$3. Yeah.
Yeah. But that influenced this very commercial show, Come Dancing, mm-hmm. now called Strictly Come Dancing.
Let's put this word in the title because this movie is trending.
It'll rough it up a little. It'll give it a little bit more grit or something because come dancing is too, you know, posh.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host for Come Dancing 1989. Angela Rippon.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and a very warm welcome to this, the 40th year of Come Dancing. Just think. When this program started in 1949, there was only one television channel and everything was in black and white. And here we are now with one of the most glamorous and certainly most colorful programs on television.
Mm-hmm. And I was looking up the show Come Dancing. Was the caller said, the caller was like, 50 years or something. Yeah, 50 years this show was on. One of television's longest running shows.
Yeah. Was it celebrities? No, it was
no,
just,
they were not. It was just normal dancers. Yes.
That were
and then when they
dancing.
Brought it back, when they brought it back, they were like, you know what could really freshen this up? Famous people. And people call it Strictly.
We're not good at much in America, but we are good at being direct, and Dancing with the Stars still reigns supreme as very directly what the show is.
That's true.
Right.
Okay, next call.
Hi, Who Weekly, long time, medium time. I'm calling because I'm listening to this week's episode about Nina Agdal on the Big Blue Couch, and I just wanted to let you guys know that my fabrication team actually built that couch, and it was fucking huge. I just got really excited when I was listening to the podcast that that you guys brought it up, because it's something that I worked on, and I'm super excited to hear about it. And I let the whole team know that built it, that they spoke about it on my favorite podcast. And yeah, keep up the good work. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Wait, I'm crying that this guy had to tell his team, like, they talked about this giant couch on my favorite podcast. The people are probably like, what fucking podcast do you listen to? They talked about the big couch.
Are you listening to the Murdoch Murders too?
When would they talk about the couch? People didn't believe that the couch was so huge. I like that it came straight from the horse's mouth. Is that the saying?
That is the saying.
that the couch was indeed huge. People were like,
I loved all the
small.
Tweets that were like, damn, that couch is big. Like, I had no idea the couch was this big. It's a huge fucking couch.
Yeah, it's a huge couch. And it's not because Nina is small, but she is small, but not short. And the couch is huge.
The caller saying, keep up the good work, is really funny to me, because it's like, we're just making a podcast. You're building giant couches.
I know.
That's way more impressive.
I wish.
You keep up the
good
work.
If someone said build a giant couch, I wouldn't even know where to start.
I mean, this couch is beautiful. Promote your fabrication company, person.
What happened to the couch after, you think?
Disassembled. Disassembled. Thrown in the trash.
Not in somebody's house?
What are you going to do with the giant blue couch? That doesn't fit anywhere.
I'm just saying, I hope the big blue couch went to a nice home.
I worry about that. I worry about that. I don't think it's in anyone's home.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I just had to pause the pod because the caller and you guys both said that Leonardo DiCaprio is the modern-day Susan Lucci. Obviously, that was true at one point, but right now, it's obviously Amy Adams. Come on. Grateful for Sharna.
Well, it was Leo before Leo won it, and now it's the next person, which is, I actually feel like it's Glenn, to be honest. If we're being real,
Glenn's
it's Glenn.
Glenn's never going to win. Yeah. It's longer lasting.
Glenn's
going to
win a Lifetime
longer.
Achievement Award or whatever.
Well, has Amy been nominated more? Like Glenn's, it's been a longer story, but I think Amy technically has more nominations. She has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Amy Adams has 6 Academy Award nominations. Oops.
Well.
Glenn has 8.
Oh, it's Glenn.
So it's Glenn. I want them both to win Oscars for various reasons. I think they deserve Oscars. Great.
But
get the story.
What are
get
we
this
winning
narrative
Oscars
out of the
for?
Life. Right. But I think it's more urgent that Amy Adams wins an Oscar, because Amy Adams is younger. Amy Adams has like more of a career ahead of her, and I'm sick of Amy Adams taking roles to win Oscars. Like, she needs the freedom that winning an Oscar gives you, where you
right,
can
you
do more things.
Right, you want Amy Adams to win her fucking Oscar so she can go back to taking roles that actually are fun, right?
Yeah, it's like, quit taking Hillbilly Elegy just because it sounds really good on paper and that you think you're going to get a nomination.
It is so funny that these two were in Hillbilly Elegy together and they both had the same conundrum, which is, when will I win an Oscar? And both of them thought together, this would be a good way to solve that problem. Maybe we'll both get one from this movie, this stinker of a film.
I'm just imagining them like, reading the script and being like, this is doable, okay. Hearing Ron Howard's there, yeah, okay. Netflix is involved and they're like, well, I don't love that it's getting a Netflix release, but like, whatever. They don't know about the pandemic. And then they get to their trailers, they open up their closet. I know this isn't how movies work, but it's like they open their closet and they
and
see their
the
costume
overalls.
And
yeah,
their
the
wig
overalls are
and
where,
they're like, oh no.
There. Right.
They're like, oh, fuck.
They do the thing in like America's Next Top Model where they turn the chair around to face the mirror. Like, they give her the haircut makeover. They're like, we got you. You're going to look great. They slowly turn Glenn around to reveal.
I want everybody to come over here. Part of being a top model is about accepting change, about being a blank palette. I have the top people in the industry here that have molded and shaped my career. And I want to commend 12 of you for being open. But there are two of you, and you know who you are, that pissed me off.
Awful.
The Oscar dream just dissipates into the air.
Oh.
He's like, bye. I'm going to find Margot Robbie. See ya.
Margot Robbie.
I don't know. She didn't win. I don't know why that's my Oscar like winner.
Can you name all of Amy Adams' Academy Award nominations?
No. Okay. Arrival.
No. That was the whole thing. That was the whole thing. She didn't even get nominated. You already lost.
That's the best movie she's ever done. Amy Adams had one for Junebug. Think of what her career would have been now. She would not have been waving from a window, I'll tell you that.
If Amy Adams would have won for Junebug, Donald Trump wouldn't have been the president.
No, stop.
There would not be, COVID would have been stopped in its tracks.
The sliding doors of Amy Adams winning her Oscar early would have just been like,
a lot
incredible.
Of wrongs would have been righted had Amy Adams won for Junebug.
Hi, Weekly. Can you tell me what Squid Game is and why I keep seeing it everywhere? Thanks. Grateful for Squid Game.
So Squid Game is everywhere. Squid Game is everywhere for really interesting reasons. So we'll talk about like the main breakout who from this, which I guess she's arguably a them in many ways. But it's such a, it's enough. Like, okay, it's good, but like, it's a Netflix creation top to bottom. This is the algorithm at work in the best way. So Netflix was literally like, we need to fund more international studios. Like, we need a big hit that's not from America. Like, let's start giving more money to other like Netflix outposts. They give Korea a bunch of money. Netflix Korea hires this writer who's been working on this script.
But that's
forever.
What's so fascinating about this is that all the American Netflix made stuff is cheap and kind of not great at this point because it's a low common denominator. So mm-hmm. the money that Netflix has to spend on development, they're giving elsewhere. And that's why we're getting like good, beautiful, expensive foreign content like this mm-hmm. or whatever.
And they did all the work apparently, like dubbing it in dozens of languages so that it was from the jump available completely internationally in tons of markets, and now it's so popular. It's like their most popular show of all time. And there was another thing that I pasted down here where it's doing so well in some countries, because this gets into like tech stuff and like ISP things, but it's South Korea. A broadband firm, this is from Reuters, a broadband firm in South Korea sued Netflix because they were spending so much money providing this content via their broadband servers, because like Netflix doesn't have to pay. There's some loophole that makes Netflix not pay to be like, what am I trying to say? They don't have to pay usage fees. So basically it's like, it's hugely popular in every sense. So popular that it's literally breaking servers.
It reminds me of Casa de Papel's popularity on Netflix. Mm-hmm.
Money Heist is so fucking good.
Squid Game, also kind of an ensemble. You've got a lot of characters. It reminds me of Snowpiercer in terms of tone. You know, it's like we love Black Mirror now. We love these dystopian dramas, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. true. And this really fits into that category.
Like, America slowly waking up to the fact that, like, class divisions exist. Like, oh, interesting. That's very interesting.
Well, that's literally what Snowpiercer was. You know, that's mm-hmm. literally what that is. Yeah. It's a mixture of something that's genuinely good that people like and there's a lot of money spent on it, and the Netflix marketing machine, which we've groaned about before, but is actually like able to put something in somebody's face, a lot of people's faces, very quick and successfully. Yeah.
It was just like one of those things, like I don't know how to feel about it. Like I was a little disheartened by it because I was like, I just thought it was cool that this thing organically bubbled up and then everyone's watching it. Isn't that great? Because I do love when everyone's watching something, even if I don't like it, like The Queen's Gambit. It's like, I'm happy to participate in this narrative, even though I might be a little late. Like I have to finish Squid Game. Everyone's talking about Maid suddenly with Margaret Qualley. It's like, okay, give me a break.
But
I can't even start
Maid
until I finish
Squid
Game.
But that to me is the opposite of this phenomenon. It's like Squid Game is good. I'm not watching Maid. Like, no.
I'm not watching Maid. I might watch Maid, but it's like, give me a second to get through this. This was extremely deliberate to like find the show that was going to hit. Still, it works. It's good. It seems like whenever you're reading about stuff like this, it's like, oh, it seems like the general consensus of like the breakout star is this model named Ho Yeon Jung.
Hi, I'm Ho Yeon. I'm gonna show you my skincare and my makeup. My skincare is custom from clinic in Korea.
And she's like kind of a legend. She was on Korea's Next Top Model and was the runner-up. Next Top Model 4 and was the runner-up. She's already gotten a lot of attention in fashion magazines like Vogue and W over the past like 5-6 years. So she existed.
She was in the New modeling York world when she was called to come do this. Like she was cast somehow, thrown into the mix while she was working as a model in New York, like steadily up and up and walking in like big shows or whatever. Cause I guess somebody was like, oh, you know, in America's Next Top Model internationally, in Top Model internationally, the models tend to be more successful in their actual careers when they're done with the show. Yeah. I do think that there are successful people from Top Model. It's just weirder here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Come on. Yeah.
And Winnie Harlow is from Top Model as well. So, but I think it's more likely that you'll have a career as a model internationally if you're on Top Model. But
there's something very Elle Woodsian about her approach to acting. And it really does read as if one day she was like, you know what? I was worried about career longevity and I was like, I should probably get into acting. So I took a few acting classes, and it's literally like 3 months after she started taking acting classes, they approached her from Squid Game.
Well, I love that, you want to be the star of Squid Game. Apparently her signature look, which is very Top Model behavior, is she has red hair when she models, or she had red hair, red hair. She doesn't in the show, so they didn't keep that look.
You were talking about how international, non-American, America's Next Top Model shows.
Sorry, it's weird because you keep saying America.
I know.
You keep saying it, but
non-American
it's just
top model shows. The other franchises tend to create more successful people. I was thinking about that earlier because I was watching. I wanted to find, you know, like, America's Next Top Model openings are so corny. It's like, first of all, they're extremely Tyra-centric, and she's like, want to be on top, and then it has the cheesiest song. It cuts through all the photos of like the models, and it's just so corny. It looks so cheap and dumb. I was watching the intros for Korea's Next Top Model, particularly the cycle that Ho Yeon is on, and it's like so much classier, so much more model-y, to use that phrase. Like, it's just like so put together and buttoned up and like high fashion, as opposed to like just like cheapo competition reality. And it was like, okay, this instantly tracks just from the opening. But then I read this story from Vogue in 2015, and she's having like coffee and tea with the writer of the article, and then she says, quote, "If I happily smile and play around and laugh, ha ha, hoo hoo, yay, laughing like that, I think the photos look cooler," she says, smiling. "If I just stand here like this," she poses seriously, like, oh, I'm a model. "Well, I don't think that's what it means to be a model at all. If I show some of my personality in the photos, it looks better, don't you think?" And I was like, that sounds like something out of Tyra Banks' mouth.
Yeah, it's
doesn't
truly
that sound like the most Tyra Banks shit of all time?
Top model behavior right there. That top is like model. She wants to be on top. And the other guy from Squid Game that people are talking about is Gong Yoo, because he's hot. Is that the deal? And he's like in his 40s. People are like, wow, he's like
just
Paul
extremely
Rudd,
famous. He's extremely famous, and he's hot, and he's just in it for like 2 scenes. That's why. Like, it's a cameo. He's the guy who he's the guy. It's like a fun cameo. Like, if you're very into like Korean cinema specifically, it's like he's very, 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 very popular. So it's fun that he gets this like sort of substantial cameo in the first episode, and I think the last. It's like, not to go back, the last big show before this was Bridgerton. Who else is there other than Reggae Jean Page? No one. Nicola, I guess, but she existed. She existed because of Dairy Girls.
Or whatever, right.
You know?
Everyone before Bridgerton is on the same trajectory that they were before, maybe except for Reggae Jean Page. But again, need to see these people's follow-ups before I can make any judgment. Need to see what they do next.
Meanwhile, like, I guess I suppose I stand Anya Taylor-Joy, but who else? No one.
You stand Anya Taylor-Joy?
No, I really just stand the photo of her drinking Starbucks and smoking a cigarette on the curb. Because
okay.
I think that's
just
great. Okay,
sure,
let's
just
move on.
Sure.
So before we end this conversation with Squid Game, gotta quote this great Instagram that Lindsay sent me earlier from Love of Huns, the great Instagram account called "If Gemma Collins Was in the Squid Game." You don't have to watch Squid Game to laugh at this. Just listen. I want to hear it again.
Would you like to play a game with me?
No, I don't want to play any more games.
I'm sure you've played Dachi before, right?
I've had enough of playing games.
Play a few rounds of Dachi with me.
No! I'm fucking ganged out.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Had to stop the podcast. Not your podcast, but Why Won't You Date Me with Nicole Byers? Because Meghan Trainor is a guest on it, and Meghan Trainor had her contractor install side-by-side toilets so that her and her spy kid husband can take shits together. So, grateful for Sharna.
Meghan Trainor went on Nicole Byers' podcast last week, and Nicole Byers' podcast, Why Don't You Date Me? Why Won't You Date Me? And in the middle of the conversation, she said this. I'm sure you're going to play the clip.
Bro, it's weird. It's
we
too
do
much.
Have, and we just got a new house and we did construction. nobody knows this, but in our bathroom, there was one toilet. And a lot of times in the middle of the night when we're with the baby, like we got to pee at the same time. So I was like, can we please have two toilets next to each other? So we...
Bro, I'm telling you, it is insanity.
That's an exclusive.
You guys
wait
a minute.
We got
I'm
two
sorry.
Toilets sitting
Excuse
next to each
me.
Other, and we've only pooped together twice.
You looked at a contractor, another adult in the face,
yes.
And you said, we need a bathroom with two toilets next to each other.
And he
and
laughed
that adult and said, okay.
He laughed and thought I was joking, and I was like, no, I'm not joking, and then he did it.
How She's far apart? Are these two said toilets?
No, like next to each, like closer than we are now.
They're fucking right there, dude.
Bop, bop, bop.
Do you use them together?
Often. Yes, we pee. We pee at the same time a lot. I can't be near him when he poops because his poops smell foul.
Okay.
And I can't handle it, even if we have poopery. And a lot of times he forgets to do the poopery. But when I'm pooping, I encourage him, come on in. And
you
we're like, look at this,
this.
One. Yes, because I'm like.
Look at this one.
Because I don't poop. I didn't have a good like poop life before.
Okay.
And now we're learning about nutrition and I'm seeing like my poops are like great now and healthy and every day.
And this was obviously pulled out from the episode and tweeted about and aggregated. And it went, I guess, viral-ish. Because it's such a funny headline, like Meghan Trainor, comma, husband Daryl Sabara have, quote, toilets next to each other. That's pretty funny. But Meghan, after getting this all this attention, she tweeted this. To clear things up, ... We pooped once together and we laughed and said never again, ... But he will hang out with me if I'm pooping because we soulmates. And I legit miss him when I'm away from him. And we pee together, obvi.
That does not clear a thing. That does not clear
doesn't
it
Doesn't clear anything up.
That
doesn't clear
makes
anything
it worse.
Up.
People were like, you pooped next to each other. And she was like, confirmed we have, yes.
She was like, only once. Only once.
True soulmates shit while holding hands.
But then she says, okay, we don't poop together. But when I'm pooping, I like him there. So he's sitting on the toilet, but not pooping?
I just love that Meghan Trainor went on poor Nicole Byers' podcast, Why Won't You Date Me? That's kind of like about Nicole being like, I'm trying to find a boyfriend or whatever, mm-hmm. like even jokingly, whatever at this point. But she goes on and she's like, I'm so in love, like great for you, but I'm so in love with my husband that we shit next to each other when we hold hands, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's psycho behavior.
Does this seem like, based on what you knew about Meghan Trainor going into this, is this surprising to you at
no.
all? Like, that's the thing that's sort of, like, fucking with me here. Like, what is the commentary? This
The only thing
like,
that's surprising to me is that why are there two toilets in the same bathroom? That seems just like a weird thing to build in there.
No, because they installed it.
They installed the extra toilet.
Yeah.
The intentionality of it is very weird to me. Like,
she went up to her contractor and she said, I need two toilets next to each other.
The lull of us peeing together and there's two toilets next to each other if we stumbled upon two toilets next to each other. But this is such an intentional thing where it's like you installed two toilets next to each other for mm-hmm. this purpose that
it's
it
true.
Is really freaky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't want anything to do with this. But again, like that relationship is very strange and specific. And she's spoken a million times about how like Daryl is so perfect for her and finally gets her. She never had anyone who understood her. So like, what is a bigger sign of extreme total comfort than putting two toilets next to each other? You know,
I don't know. You tell me. Do you remember, this brought back great memories, do you remember the insane press release?
Oh, the Love Train press release?
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
You know you want it, and you can freaking get it, bitch. Megan's seducing your ears this V-Day, and you know she knows a thing or two about romance. Unless your phone's been broken for a hot minute, you know that Megan just got married to the ginger from Spy Kids. And trust us when we say, girl is feeling the love. She took a break from her busy schedule to record some fire tracks in Los Angeles alongside frequent collaborators and producers Andrew Wells, Jay Cash, and Tyler Johnson. We know you want to hear songs about the hot newlywed sex Megan and Daryl Sabeira are having. Did you see what we did there? Which is why I love the banging single All the Ways. Billboard was wet for All the Ways, calling it another fun, danceable track to fall in love with. And would Billboard lie to you, girl? This was like so engineered to get me to do this, but I'm falling into the trap. Like,
no, we fell for it.
Choo-choo,
bitch.
We're
being manipulated.
The love train is leaving the station. You better get on board. I'm on the train. And this writer, whoever wrote this, I hope that they got a job in being the president or something. I don't know. What's a good job? It's a bad job.
Joe Biden wrote this. Joe Biden wrote this and he became the president.
I mean, Joe Biden wishes he could write. As always, our Grammy-winning diamond single having queen didn't just come to play. She came to slay.
It's really funny to me the way that Meghan Trainor went from like it songwriter, it pop girly songwriter to just like it pop star to this, you know, like this.
I mean,
okay,
yeah,
the trajectory of our celebrities these days is so interesting to me. Like, there's never, it's rare for a celebrity to go from kind of on top of the world to completely gone, like disappeared. They always find something to do, you know?
Yeah, now she's launched a podcast with her brother called Working on It.
Hey everyone, it's Meghan Trainor,
and I'm her big bro Ryan.
And we're starting a podcast. It's called Working on It.
Yep.
And we're working on just bettering ourselves overall as human beings.
Life, sobriety, anxiety.
Yes, yes, yes. Motherhood. I am a new mama.
Self-esteem. You name it. Listen, you're just going to get a behind-the-scenes look at our lives.
Like, she doesn't have to perform music. She doesn't have to sing music. She doesn't have to do shit, but, like, be on the cover of People and talk about putting a toilet next to another toilet on Nicole Byer's podcast and then start a new podcast with her brother. Are you going to listen to that podcast? Are you going to subscribe?
Absolutely not. But the thing is, I don't envy the jobs of the tabloid writers who have to figure out what the fuck's on all these podcasts.
On Working On It, Meghan Trainor and her big brother Ryan Trainor get more honest than ever before. The sibling duo takes on a new topic each week, shares their stories, and brings listeners into the conversation. It's like, no.
Even if I liked Meghan Trainor's music specifically, why would I want this? You know what I mean? How is that crossover, you know?
I don't know who Ryan Trainor is.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know who Ryan Trainor is.
Right. Okay, moving on to somebody I don't know.
Lindsay, what quince did you get when we got some quince promo?
I got sheets.
Me too.
I got beautiful sheets. Beautiful sheets.
Oh, wait. No, I didn't. I lied. I got a duvet cover. Same thing, though.
A friend of mine reached out and said, you know how you say on the quince ad that you have 365 days for returns? I once used that feature and it was incredible. It was so easy and great. And I said, wow, that's so nice to hear, because Quince offers free shipping and 365-day returns. And that's part of one of their many offerings, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
Oh, yeah, you're obsessed with the washable silk tops.
It's hard to... Washing silk is a pain in the tush.
Not normally. From Quince.
Normally.
And all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that can cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings right on to me, Lindsay, and you. And they only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. We love that. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/who for free shipping on your order. And as she said, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/who to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/who. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like
beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. I just wanted to direct your attention to Brooklyn Beckham's recent cooking segment on the Today Show this morning. He pretty badly injured his finger right before they went live. I know we've talked about his hooey cooking skills before, and this just really emphasized that. He did the whole segment kind of one-handed, and you know, like when you're cooking and maybe you do cut yourself, you kind of finish what you're doing with that finger kind of hobbled off to the side. Like, that's what he did for the whole segment. Very hooey behavior. Just wanted to point that out. Grateful for China. Bye.
Are you fucking kidding me? I didn't notice in this clip that he had hurt himself right before they went live.
Yeah.
I just noticed how unbelievably dull and uncharismatic, no light in the eyes. I mean, this kid could not have it any less. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
This is the worst. I mean, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? This is one of the worst men in media, but...
In media?
When he's right, he's in the world. When he's right, he's right. Piers Morgan retweeted the video of Brooklyn Beckham on Today and wrote, worst, most unutterably pointless segment in morning television history.
Just the lack of a spark you look for. Like, light in the eyes, you know, a gift. Even if it's bad. This is exciting. This person is devious. This person gives me life. It's like
if Meghan Trainor made a sandwich on Today Show, it would be compelling. You know, like, she's pretty, she's like kooky, she's loud, she'd she's be really like, irritating.
Later when I poop this out, I'm going to be sitting right next to my dear husband who gives me company when I poop.
And I'm going to be like, oh, I shouldn't have put so much sriracha, it hurts. And then the husband's going to be like, oh, you always say that.
Ew,
and,
okay.
You know, like, it would have been
too
funny.
Far. Too far.
But like, Meghan Trainor, for as insufferable as she is and irritating, like, she's a magnetic personality. Like, she's a talker. Like, Brooklyn Beckham is barely talking, he's barely moving, he's not doing anything skillful.
Like, when you meet a friend's kid and let's say they're like 7 or 8 years old, okay, maybe a little older, like 9 or 10, and you're like, hey, like, nice to meet you, and they're like, shut up, you know, they're in their mind, they're like, this is so boring, this person is so stupid, I hate adults, like, and they and what they say is like, cool, okay, can I go upstairs now, bye. This segment is the equivalent of that interaction, you know,
of Hoda meeting a 9-year-old named Brooklyn Beckham,
who's, and literally he's like, trying to pull out anything from this person who's like, and then you put the bacon on, and then you, and they're like, Brooklyn, da 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 da, and he's like, yeah, you know, okay, da da.
And when would you eat this? After like a long night at the pub, or just sort of the holiday, or any given day?
Every morning.
Every morning.
All right, let's get started. So you like this kind of a pan?
I do. I love the cast iron skillets. Yeah. It's my favorite pan. Okay. And then you start off with.
Look at that. That's some bacon, that's Carson. Like, that's like the real thing. Stuff.
Right, English bacon.
Oh,
it's the best
the good
bacon.
Stuff. You get it sliced thin like that.
Yep.
What? Sliced a rasher of bacon.
By the way, the bacon connoisseur is Al Roker right there.
Oh, amazing.
Pork on pork.
Pork
very
on
nice
pork. Data. He's digging it. Okay. So you start with some bacon.
Start with some bacon.
Yep.
And then when the bacon is cooked, I put it on a paper towel.
Yeah. Dab so it a little bit.
Oily.
Uh-huh.
Get the other one.
Love that. Okay.
But he's like, oh, and then here's the bacon. And Hoda's like, ooh, this bacon looks great. And he's like, yeah. And then there's sausage. And she's like, oh, sausage. Oh, England.
Like, it's Hoda, and Carson and a panel of people eating the breakfast have to overdo it by so much to make up for the lack of anything that this kid is giving them.
Are you? I mean, he barely gave them breakfast. Like, it's just... The food
it's
is
an English breakfast. It's untoasted white bread. Also,
it's
on
untoasted white bread. It's untoasted white bread, and between the untoasted white bread is cold scrambled egg, bacon, and sausage. That's it. And then he like drizzles mustard on it in the way that he does it on all of his videos, where it's just like he tries to do like these beautiful drizzlings of condiments, and it's like, please relax. And they do these glamour shot zooms into his tattoos. Very strange. It's just. This is the most irritating kind of nepotism, just on full display.
Full display.
There's no talent, and he had all of the access in the world.
The it's not going to happen-ness of Brooklyn Beckham's cooking career. Stop it. Please stop
no,
it.
But I think it is going to happen. That's the problem.
Please stop. Enough already.
Hi, I'm so sorry. I literally just called you about something else, but I just opened Twitter, and I saw a tweet about Eyal Booker from Love Island and also dating... someone, he's dating someone, you guys will know, doing an absolutely insane ad for the TV show Chernobyl on his Instagram. Like, it looks like a little, like, comic book drawing with really weird photos of him. Please talk about this. I'm so confused. Crunch, crunch.
Okay, you need to describe... what it looks like, or else I don't think that this is an audio. It needs to be visualized for the audience.
It's Eyal from Love Island. He's a who. We've talked about him before. He's dating Delilah Hamlin.
Okay.
Hamlin.
Describe it. Don't.
And it's Eyal. We're used to seeing him shirtless. He's wearing a shirt, and it looks almost like photo booth photos. It's like four photos, four faces that he's making. The first one, his hands are covering his head, the sides of his head, and he's sort of doing like a Home Alone, like, what? And above him, it's written, mind blown, like scribbled in like a beautiful font. And the photo to the right of that is him doing prayer hands in front of him, like sort of nervous. And he's like, and above him is written, Chernobyl. And then the two photos below, the first one is he's touching the center of his forehead, sort of like exasperated. And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. And then the final photo to the right is just sort of a model pose,
like,
where he's
vaguely
looking at the camera like.
No, it's not even modeling. It's just like, I look vaguely uncomfortable. Oh, now I have to watch Chernobyl.
And then behind him in those two photos are old newspaper covers from the Chernobyl disaster time
Do
period.
Do we think Al knew about what Chernobyl was before this?
No, he'd never heard about it. He didn't really even know that nuclear power existed. He this whole thing was new to him. I'm not even sure he knew about the Ukraine.
The caption literally is, ad, have you seen Chernobyl? Sky TV captivated me like never before with this gripping drama series exploring the true accounts of one of the worst nuclear accidents in the history of mankind and the heroes that gave and put their lives on the line to save Europe. Who wrote this? Clearly it's
they
him.
Put apostrophe S, heroes, apostrophe S, yikes.
There's a reason Chernobyl picked up 9 BAFTAs, including miniseries and leading actor.
A while ago, too. Incredibly gripping and shocking account of what happened, and I'd highly recommend watching not only an educational standpoint, but a thrilling and drama-filled watch. Thanks, Eyal.
Half of me is like, this is insane. How did they even pick him? Was he on the list? Did they go specifically out to him? Is he just, you know, one of an influencer that they go to? And then half of me is like, whoever decided to do this is a genius. They're like, let's get the dumbest kid from Love Island to promote Chernobyl on Sky TV.
I just feel like a lot of people watched Chernobyl. It was a huge show. It was no Squid Game, but it was a big show. So it's sort of like this reeks to me of them like looking through the demographics where this show hit. And it's like, we got a lot of older people. We got a lot of millennials maybe, but let's like go down.
This is almost like an ad for like the DVD release or the right. paperback release of the project. It feels insane. It feels late. Why Eyal Booker? Like, seriously, why? Why?
I'm Eyal. I'm 22. I'm from London and I'm a model. I kind of believe that. In a past life, I was some kind of monkey. The emoji that best describes me, I would say, is either the dancing man emoji or the emoji with its tongue out. Just the crazy one, really.
He's dating
Delilah Hamlin.
Delilah Hamlin, whose sister was dating Scott Disick.
I was reading a story that was like, what is it called? Oh, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Delilah Hamlin and A.L. Booker's relationship timeline. And one of them at the bottom said they were spotted fighting in public. And then it says, in January 2021, the young couple was photographed removing items from a car trunk on the streets of Los Angeles. In several of the photos, A.L. was seen letting out an angry scream while Delilah appeared to be teary-eyed. So they got all this coverage. A.L. Booker and Delilah Hamlin are fighting in public. And after those headlines happened, A.L. or Delilah's publicists reached out for a correction. And the rep said, there was no row. He hit his hand on the car boot and was in pain while he was unloading bags for charity. So it completely reframes these photos where he's screaming. He's just like, he hit his hand and it looks like a scream in pain instead of an actual fight. And she's looking off at him like, are you okay, baby?
You can't make that up, though. You really can't make that up. That's a very specific excuse that I'm going to kind of buy into. And then I realized that they have a YouTube channel. Well, he had one that he turned into their joint YouTube channel, and it has maybe 5 or 6 videos on it. It's kind of bleak. But I do love that they together did 2 different we're doing traveling vlogs during COVID videos. We traveled to Mexico for work and got to explore the beautiful country. Premiered on January 11, 2021, and someone commented, rich people really live completely different lives compared to the rest of us. The delusion, lol. How about influencers stop going to Mexico and infecting the Mexican people?
They got a point. And then they stopped making videos.
They're not doing well on YouTube. That's not really their, I don't think really that's their format. But I do like that 1 year ago, he got 346,000 views for a men's curly hair tutorial.
Hey guys, and welcome to my YouTube channel. So I've been getting a lot of questions recently about what I do to get my hair the way that it is, what products I use, do I use a hairdryer, do I shampoo and condition, all of that stuff. So I'm gonna break it down for you. I'm gonna try and keep this short and simple because nobody wants a long dragged out video.
Anyways, go watch Chernobyl. Bobby said it was good. I never saw it.
It blew my mind. It captivated me like never before.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. I've been getting this ad for a new NBC show, which, I mean, or maybe it's a Peacock show. I don't know. I'm not going to watch it. But it's called Ordinary Joe, and I keep getting this ad, and I keep thinking it's Lee Pace. But the guy looks really straight. So, like, who is this fake Lee Pace guy from the show Ordinary Joe where it's like sliding doors, but like triple sliding doors. So, yeah. Okay. So who is like the Ordinary Joe guy? Who is Straight Lee Pace? Is there literally any show more embarrassing than This Is Us? I don't know. I also watch a lot of seasons of Supernatural. So crunch, crunch. Grateful for Sharna, Leanne, Chrissy.
Okay. Ordinary Joe, Ordinary Joe blew my mind when I like first saw the billboard for Ordinary Joe because it seems like a fake show in like a sitcom.
It's only natural to wonder, what if?
Sorry, this is yours.
I'm Joe.
I'm Amy. And what is it that you want to do?
I'm going to be the next Billy Joel. Guy can dream, right?
What if I asked out that girl I just met?
No, it feels like a 30 Rock parody of a show. And
The
other thing is like James Wolk in my brain is the Lucy Hale of network TV where like people, they're just like still trying to make him happen. They're like, this guy, yeah, he's got something. He's handsome and white and tall. What's the deal? Why won't people like watch him?
Why won't he connect with audiences?
Right, like
he needs to connect with audiences.
Like an exhausted network execs, like just throwing paper at the wall, screaming at their assistant, like, wah! You know, like, Zoo was a failure. Why? You know, what was Zoo? What was Zoo? He started.
Why can't we make Josh Wolk happen? Yeah.
James.
The poster, James Wolk. Oh God, it's 3 James Wolks. One of them is in scrubs and a stethoscope. One of them is singing like on a stage and the other one is a cop. And it says, one man, 3 destinies, Ordinary Joe. It's like,
he's not as much of a pilot one hit wonder flop as Lucy Hale, but he definitely has like, they've tried to make him happen now multiple times. He originally did happen in terms of this jumping off point on Mad Men. He was on Mad
right.
Men.
That's, I never watched Mad Men, but I know who he is because I'm familiar with the meme.
Not great, Bob.
Hold that.
How are you?
Not great, Bob.
Not great, Bob. And also he had the thighs. He wore the short shorts.
He's very
and he was
hot.
Like, that photo was
no,
everywhere.
Like he had an incredible week when he showed off his thighs on Mad Men. Even it even got to Bobby. Bob even got the memo.
Oh, I saw his thighs. I saw his thighs. And I also watched Watchmen. So I've seen him in Watchmen because he was one of the villains in Watchmen.
He's a cutie, but he really has stop trying to make him happen is what I'm trying to say.
It's just he's one of those people who something it's like we say about Lucy Hale, like they must do well in the room because it's like Austin Swift. People are very convinced that this person is the second coming and they keep pushing him in front of us. And I'm just not sure I'm convinced.
Yeah.
Are you?
No.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Not at all. Not going to happen, Bob.
Not going to happen, Bob.
Oh, that's like me saying that to you.
That's good. Not going to happen, Bob.
Well, Bob, it's just not going to happen. All right.
Not great, Bob.
Hi. Long time. This is a bit late, but I'm sure at this point we've all seen the video of Shawn Mendes talking about Camila Cabello's dress. And saying it's giving Cher. So I guess my question is, does Cher know who Shawn Mendes is? And then part B, does Cher know who Camila Cabello is? Thank you, Crunch Crunch. Bye.
It's giving Cher.
I will say I enjoyed It's Giving Cher, but I am much more enjoyed the follow-up It's Giving Dots, which was when Camila Cabello retweeted some outfit she wore with polka dots on it and said, It's Giving Dots. It's almost as like this couple learned about It's Giving as a phrase together. You know, they both managed to like literally deploy it the same week. Like, what are they doing?
It's like, imagine their conversations at home. Like, actually don't, because it's going to completely destroy your brain. Right. But like, this is how they talk. They probably get very stuck on certain phrases.
Like, they think they're so funny. Camila's like picking up a spoon being like, it's giving spoon. And Shawn Mendes is just fucking cracking the hell up. Right. Like him saying it's giving Cher to her is probably like an inside joke to them almost, even though the rest of the world was like, it's giving closeted. Like, what is it giving?
It's giving Cher.
They're making stuff in their like gigantic like Vitamix. And he's like, it's giving superfood. And she's like, it's giving yum. Like they probably have full conversations like this.
Right.
You know who I think poops next to each other? Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello.
Sure. It's giving fiber.
They're turning on their bidets. It's giving fresh.
Does Cher. Their bidets.
It's giving clean.
It's giving Cher. Does Cher know about these two? The question really is, does Cher keep up with popular music? Because I think she does, because she goes to all these award shows. Like, I mean, she doesn't go to all of them, but she goes to a lot of them.
I think Cher knows who both of these people are.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think she knows who Camila Cabello is. I think that she knows who Shawn Mendes is. I would go as far as to say I think she could pick them out of a lineup.
Really? Out of a lineup?
She's like part of... It's like, who was the other older...
You think Camila Cabello could pick...
Elton John.
Yeah, but he pays attention. Do you think that Cher could pick Camila Cabello out of a lineup, though?
Okay, maybe I take
If you showed Cher all the girls of Fifth Harmony and said, which one's Camila Cabello, you think she could
I was
choose?
About to say... I'm not even sure the girls of Fifth Harmony could pick Camila Cabello out of a lineup. Or they would just, they would simply refuse to. It's giving next call.
Is Betty Boop a who now? Or is she like still a Sam? Okay. Crunch, crunch, ScarJo, yummy pop. Boop, boop.
Is Betty Boop a who or a them? Okay, ready?
Okay,
I'm
ready.
Two, three, them.
Them.
She's definitely a them. Don't you dare.
I don't even know what else to say.
She's a them.
Betty Boop is a them.
Do you follow her on Twitter?
Betty Boop?
Yeah. She's so funny on Twitter. Image macros.
Is it Betty Boop
like
News?
Betty Boop.
At Betty
She'll
Boop
be like,
News?
Have a good weekend. And it's like Betty Boop like flipping a burger at the grill. It's so funny.
There's a photo of an illustrated Betty Boop put into an actual photo of fall leaves falling, like autumn leaves falling. And she's holding a doggy up in the air and it says, who else loves October?
Yeah.
October 1st, Fall Friday.
It's perfect.
Someone responded, at Betty Boop News, I love October, Betty Boop.
Oh my God, hi, new voicemail left. Long time. Is Kathy Najimy, Kathy Najimy, I'm drunk. I'm so sorry. who are them? Crunch, crunch.
Okay, I guess it's appropriate to answer this because it's like spooky season. So like Hocus Pocus is like back in rotation. You know, it's that year again. It's that time of the year again where we have to care about Hocus Pocus. I like Hocus Pocus.
Kathina Jamie was also a tarot reader on Morning Show.
Oh, I saw in the most contrived scene ever where Jennifer Aniston has to go to a New Year's party for no reason. And then Kathina Jamie's like, oh, what did she tell her? Like, you're a bitch or whatever.
You're going to have a bad year or whatever. It's like things are getting bad for you.
Yeah, well.
You're stressing.
Things are getting bad for me as soon as I press play on that show. So.
God, trying to like push anything on the Apple TV app is like a complete disaster.
Butch.
Okay.
Okay. Kathy Najimy, who are them? Ugh. One, two, three. Who?
Who? Who?
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time, long time. I'm calling you literally from Greece right now to talk about the fact that Bowling for Soup covered that song Stacey's Mom, which is by Fountains of Wayne, but apparently everybody thought it was a Bowling for Soup song. So on this EP they did, they literally said that. Everyone thought they sang it anyway, so they fucking did it. Is this Who behavior or them behavior? Bowling for Soup, Who or them? And does the fact that the Bowling for Soup singer guy, he does all the voice for Chuck E. Cheese, like the brand and the character, does that make him Who or them? Crunch, crunch, me literally in Greece. Efesto, crunch, crunch.
Bowling for Soup was so hooey that people thought they sang Stacey's Mom, so they just sang it anyway, so they could just be like, yeah, we sing it.
And Bowling for Soup sounds like Fountains of Wayne in terms of like the structure of the band name.
Right.
But I think everything that you're saying,
you're talking
all
about
of
like,
this evidence,
like verbally, it sounds like it, not
verbally.
Musically.
Bowling for Soup, Fountains of Wayne, like it makes sense that you would confuse those two names, you know. But I think for sure that everyone involved in this situation is a Who, from the two bands to the member. Jarrett Reddick, I think, is who the caller was talking about, who also voices Chuck E. Cheese or something. Like,
insane.
I think everyone, top to bottom, is a Who.
Who?
Right.
Who?
Stacey's Mom, though, is Stacey's Mom a Them song or a Who song? I would say even the song is a Who.
No, I'd say it's a Them.
That was a one-hit wonder song.
Right, but I think all one-hit wonders are kind of them-y. Or you think they're hooey.
Yeah, I guess that's
actually
true.
Maybe they're hooey. Well, they're one-hit wonders in that everybody kind of knows them. And actually being a one-hit wonder almost intensifies the knowledge of you because of your one-hit wonder, and it kind of creates this like aura around the idea of being a one-hit wonder. A fascination with the idea that it's just a, you know, like Chumbawamba, you know.
Uh-huh. Tup thumping. Yeah. Tup thumping.
Interesting. Yeah. But it is ultimately hooey to have a one-hit wonder. To be a one-hit wonder is hooey. But the one-hit wonder
the song
itself
is
them-y.
Them-y. Okay, so Stacey's Mom is a them. Everyone else is a Who.
Everyone else.
Can you name a Bowling for Soup song?
Absolutely not. But I know they have hits. She's watching wrestling, creaming over tough guys, listening to rap metal, turntables in her eyes. It's like a bad movie, she's looking through me. If you were me, then you'd be screaming, someone shoot me. As I fell miserably, trying to get the girl all the bad guys want. She's the girl all the bad guys want. That's very like me. That's very like peak me listening to the radio in the car also. You're like, ew, like, I hate this, skip it. But it was the radio.
Turning back to Delilah, like it's 101.9 time, honey. Like, no, we're done with 96.1 because I don't like this. Yeah, I had no idea that was Bowling for Soup. Huh. Hmm. Okay.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Calling in with a really important question. So important that I sent myself an email reminder to call you about it at work at 2 in the morning. Which plant-based meat substitute is more of a them? Impossible meat or beyond meat? Food for thought. Crunch, crunch.
Food for thought. Which brand? It's annoying because it's which brand? Which brand is themier? And it's actually funny because the technology of it is still like such a, it's still specific. So I do feel like you have to include the brand because there's no name for it that is generic yet. Mm-hmm. So you have to say impossible or beyond. I've seen
plant-based meat, I guess, is what you...
But it's like, that's so different than veggie burger. Like last night, I got a burger and I would have gotten maybe the veggie burger, but it was a beyond. And I said, I'd rather just get a I'm just going to get a regular burger. Like, I get that there's a difference, but I just like, I don't want a fake meat burger right now. I'd rather have either a veggie or a real.
You wanted real meat.
Anyways, mm-hmm. beyond / impossible. I've seen them both. To their both of their credits, they both are really good ways to describe it.
I'm trying to think like which ones I see. I think I see beyond more too, but I prefer impossible. Impossible. Like, I just...
Well, I do like the idea. It's like, this burger's fucking impossible. And actually, it was up until, like, last year, you know? When it was invented. Mm-hmm.
Texture-wise, they got it down. I love the texture of a plant-based burger a lot. And I prefer Impossible. I think Beyond is them here. The plant-based meat conversation is, like, really ramping up and has over the past, like, I would say, year. So, like, I think both of these brands are them's. If you're in the grocery store, it's not hard to find these anymore.
No, it used to be a little hard. It's not hard.
No, it's not
anymore.
At all. Not hard at all.
Yeah.
But I think that Beyond, I see more. Beyond, I think Impossible is better, but I think Beyond is them.
Okay. All right. Well, that's that. That's settled that. Send it to the companies. Send it to the man. I don't know what that even means.
Okay. Thank you for listening to another episode of Who's There? Call in at 619 Who Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns. Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for providing our Rita theme song on Tuesdays. Thank you to Timmy, our research assistant, for providing all sorts of help. Thank you for supporting us on patreon.com/whoweekly for more bonus episodes.
Come see us on tour. I'd love to shout out some places we'd love to sell more tickets. And I would say one of them would be Detroit and one of them would be Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to shout out.
If you live in Detroit and Atlanta and you're on the fence about coming to see us live, I gotta say,
Seattle,
do it.
Why not? Seattle.
Gotta do it.
Seattle, why not?
And Seattle.
Buy tickets in Seattle. So we'll see you all soon. Bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
You will drain it. Yeah. They wanna know.
Hey. Neil. Hey. Neil. Come on. Hey. I want to be famous.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I was given feedback from my boyfriend that I was not high energy enough on my previous message. Long time. I am calling about the ScarJo pizza roll new sign-off because as your biggest Minnesota fan, I have to make sure that Rose Totino, inventor of Totino's pizza rolls and iconic female businesswoman, entrepreneur, is a Minnesota resident. We used to play in high school against Totino Grace High School, which was named after them. So anyway, justice for Rose, you know, is no ScarJo, and okay.
You're in the hut.
Okay. Bye. Thank you.
Titanic is on Netflix. Back to you, Cisco.
A new era for Hayden Panettiere. A Hayden Panettiere era. Crunch, crunch.